This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller with a quick introduction to our free version, an edited out version of the post WWE Armageddon pay-per-view roundtable. We're going to give you about a 15-minute slice of our nearly 1 hour post pay-per-view discussion, and it begins now.
This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller along with Torch columnist Bruce Mitchell and Pat McNeil. And this is the December 14th, 2008 post WWE Armageddon audio roundtable discussion on the Torch VIP site. All right, guys, let's just march through the show in order, but I'll first announce, in case people are listening to the audio but haven't heard, we have a new WWE champion, Jeff Hardy, and I'm sure we'll have decent amount to say about that later on. But let's go ahead and hit this chronologically and begin with Vladimir Kozlov, Matt Hardy. Kozlov winning this one in 8 minutes. Pat, I'll throw to you first. Your thoughts on this opening contest?
Well, you know, if you compare it to the Kozlov Triple H match last month, this was a freaking masterpiece. It wasn't that great. It was a decent opener. Matt Hardy managed to create some movement with Kozlov, and teased a couple of sort of realistic looking near falls until Kozlov beat him with some sort of a choke slam type move.
Bruce, any thoughts on this distant memory?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the things with Kozlov, why he didn't work so well with Triple H, and why he didn't work so well with Undertaker in that TV match, is because he needs to bully the guy. He needs to have somebody that he's going to put into physical jeopardy, and he's not going to put those two into physical jeopardy. And it was, you know, it was better. It wasn't, you know, it was passable. It was okay, you know. I was surprised they started the show with a match where a guy this ponderous and this evil, you know, won the opener. That's not their usual strategy, but
it's not. But I think when you're going to end on a high note, it's not. I mean, I think a lot of fans don't realize how much thought oftentimes is put into match order by promoters and all the philosophies that are probably more deep than they need to be, or they read more into what fans might think. But I think psychologically, in this case, part of why they did it is I think they wanted to start on a low note so that it built up in a more positive way by the time the main events came around. I don't know. Paul Heyman can talk for 3 hours about every show he ran and why.
Well,
he matches
if you're stuck, I wrote a column on match order a couple years ago, which you can go into the VIP archives and pull for yourself.
Yes, you did.
But I'm not writing it again.
I do know that the opening match comes first.
That's
almost always true. In this case, the opening match was second, but the cameras weren't on for the first one. But Greg Parks has the results of that in James Caldwell's report online. All right. I thought it was an okay match. I agree with you guys. I thought the arm work by Kozlov mid-match was a little long and kind of ponderous, but not overly bad. It was a decent opener, and I mean, Kozlov should get wins, and he should be pushed as a super mega heel. I think it's unfortunate Matt Hardy was the victim of it, because I think he's somebody who also should be kind of protected. I think he's getting to that point where, you know, he can be a money guy if they don't put him in this position that I think sets him back 6 months every time he's kind of the designated jobber for a top heel. He's kind of the gatekeeper at this point. I think he could be more than that. I'm not sure he can be, but this doesn't help. All right, then Edge is backstage gloating to Vicky Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero about Hardy getting demolished by a Russian and saying, you know, he's spouting off about me attacking Jeff in a stairwell and he can't even fend for himself. Ed said he had to go prepare for his match, which wasn't for like 6 hours, but he had to get up and go do that. And then Chavo Guerrero leaned in and said, hey, Vicky, tell me, and nobody else, were you guys really behind the stairwell attack? And Vicky said, no, and go get me my coffee, which actually was really funny. And changed her mind to Splenda because she's watching her figure. Anyway, he said he wouldn't tell anybody if she told him, and she said, go get my coffee. Of course, that upset me because, you know, there's a camera right there, and he's pretending that she would believe it's a secret when there's a camera right there. So,
you know, all they needed to do was script one more line, which was her saying, there's a camera right here, and then telling the cameraman to hit the bricks. That's all you had to do.
I'd love for Vicky to grab Chavo's head, tilt it towards the camera, and point, and go, if I told you, I'd be telling everybody out there. You know, I mean,
yeah,
or Bruce, Pat, all Chavo had to do was say, Vicky, whisper it to me so those rubes can't hear you.
Solved that, but both of those would have been perfectly viable solutions, but that goes against the WWE backstage camera policy, which is the cameras are invisible, apparently.
Yeah. Unless Todd Grisham or Eve or whoever holds a microphone, unless they're present, then the camera's visible. But if an interviewer is not present, then they're invisible. I mean, they're somewhat consistent on that front, and it's completely illogical, but I give them credit for being consistent with that illogical policy.
Hey, you know, if they just brought out Stephanie McMahon to explain that WWE had bought a new batch of invisible backstage cameras, I'd be fine with that.
Okay, now let's jump ahead about 35 minutes to the discussion about Jeff Hardy's prospects as world champion. We talk about the rest of the card here for VIP members in the full-length audio update, which is almost an hour long. But here as our 15-minute sample, I do want to get in some Jeff Hardy discussion. So let's go ahead and jump right to that.
I mean, Jeff Hardy has a career of drug problems, and he's never come all the way through. I mean, he's never come all the way through it. I mean, he just not too long ago he had an alcohol incident on an airplane, and that's why they've never, you know, that's why they've never put all that, you know, everything on him and put and trusted him enough to hold their world title, and trust him enough that nothing would happen while he held their world title. And you know, in the end, they went with, you know, they didn't go with, you know, forcing, you know, again. He's not mature enough to go all the way with what he probably needs to do in his own personal life. And then they went with, you know, they went with money over that in the end. I mean, that's like they sent the messages, they worked with him, but on the other hand, they pushed him with it. And he was able to deliver in the ring and in with his character. But it's also worth saying that there's a mystery on this show. That mystery is who jumped Jeff Hardy in the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they still aren't all that ready to put the belt on him, and maybe they're still not ready to keep it on him, because if that mystery comes through, particularly if that mystery turns out to be that Christian's the one that jumped him in the stairwell,
yep.
And Christian debuts on this week's SmackDown and costs him the title against Edge, then you've got a ready-made feud for the guy. You've got Christian put in a really good position. You've got him out of the title picture. If he goes for revenge on Christian, particularly if you've got pretty good reason for it, and you've got Edge back in, you know, you've got Edge back in business, and you know, being chased by the three, you know, Kozlov, Triple H, and Jeff Hardy.
I think you're right, Bruce, and I think that is the question coming out of him, and I think fans, kind of where I was leading with my comment, and I don't think I left that out as more the kind of where I was going. The fans right now feel vindicated or feel like, hey, this journey was worth it. If they pull the rug out from under him, whether it's this week or next month, and it's not a long title reign. I mean, looking at the comments and the emails, people want a long title reign for Hardy. And there's not necessarily good reason to give him a long title reign based on the reasons you brought up, Bruce, which are all legit. But fans want that. You know, the fans aren't thinking about, oh, does, you know, is he really trustworthy? Has he earned it? All those things. They just want him to hold the belt for a while. They don't want it to be another transition situation. I think the best excuse, though, to make it a short reign would be if Christian shows up and costs him the title. And it's a great storyline in terms of fitting in. He's an old crony of Edge, and he would, you know, do him a favor, would give Christian something to do right away. It might be the one finish that they could do if Hardy's reign is only 2 days or is only a month. It's the finish that might actually fans might be able to live with because of the shock value and newsworthiness of how it happens, which is the returning Christian. And so maybe it works in that respect. If it's any other way, though, I mean, if anybody thinks Jeff Hardy's going to be the world champion at WrestleMania, you know, I don't think they should have their money on that. I think the odds are real slim. I wouldn't rule it out entirely, but I think the odds are real slim. Pat, chime in on this discussion. What are your thoughts?
All right, let me make the case for that. If you want to view this as a long-term booking plan and not a continuing, you know, series of desperate moves, let's say that this was the plan. So what needed to happen was Triple H needed the belt and Jeff Hardy needed to lose the belt and Jeff Hardy needed to gain it. But you need to have them not face each other one-on-one. Well, you use Edge to get the belt off of Hunter, and then use Edge again to get the belt over to Jeff Hardy, and you set up for Jeff Hardy versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Now the wellness problem, I mean, that's a real problem, but my guess is that right now the plan is if Jeff Hardy screws up again, just throw him on TV or on a house show the first opportunity you get and have him drop the belt. And I wouldn't be a bit, and I'm sure that that's that's their strategy, such as it is.
I don't know, you know what? I mean, that might be their strategy, but I still think they get a black eye from that. If he messes up, if he messes up in that sense, even without the belt, they're going to get a black eye because there's enough, you know, he's a TMZ creature now.
Right.
You know, they're aware of him and they're aware of his history and all that. So he would, you know, as much, I mean, I don't know how far the black eye goes, but it's one of those things that they, you know,
right. But they can also say, hey, we're serious enough about this policy that, you know, this guy was our champion. And he crossed the line one final time, and we fired him. You know?
Yeah.
Either that, or they're about to overhaul the policy, and we're going to go on their website tomorrow, and it's going to be, you know, changed somehow.
I think the Hardy promo, if they wanted to be explicit with Hardy and say, we're doing this for you, and let's say the plan is for him to hold the belt for a while. Let's say he doesn't lose it to Edge because of Christian interference, you know, very soon. Then if they're going that route, they could explain to Hardy, we're going to have you cut this promo that basically sets you up for failure, and we're going to exploit it and use it. And if you lose the title in a short, you know, if you let us down and you have an out-of-ring incident, we've set it up so that will be the story of your career. That will be your legacy. You're the guy who won the title and blew it. And this is a promo we want you to give, and it is setting the table for that. Don't blow it. If you do, we've prepared ourselves so we don't have egg on our face. You do. And they really have set it up that way. I mean, no Jeff Hardy fan can be upset if they are really kind of know the big story of how real life works with the storylines. Nobody can be upset if Hardy lets WWE down and they never give him another chance. His legacy will be the guy who was given the opportunity and he blew it. And so WWE is somewhat Teflon in this situation from looking too bad if they do have to go that route. From a Jeff Hardy fan standpoint, you know, I don't think they can have a case that they didn't give him a chance then.
Right. Well, I mean, what it boils down to is I think the money match over on the SmackDown side is Jeff Hardy and Triple H for the title. And, you know, naturally they've already done it on free TV, but if they keep them separate for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Any more thoughts? Bruce, let's say they go with Hardy for long term. I mean, is Hardy a guy who can send a message to a key demo that they might be able to bring in, sort of like Cena's done with Raw, that maybe isn't watching? I mean, is it I know you don't like to do this, it's hypothetical, but if you strip away Hardy's unreliability, even in recent times with the alcohol incident.
If Jesus came down and put his hand on Hardy's shoulder and he was fine after that, then yeah, I mean, you put the belt on him. Of course you would. I mean, and that's you put the belt on him and have a nice long reign. I mean, it would, you know, he's got that thing. He doesn't have it as much as John Cena does, but he does have that thing. And you know, he's got that thing with women. He's got that thing with teenage kids, and he's got it. So you put it on, you know, you put him on him, and I mean, or you would you put him on him and then have him lose it and then have it win it back, you know, kind of in the picture of winning it. You know, winning it again and again, because I don't think he's a guy that needs to be dominant over people, even where John Cena should be. But he's a guy that, you know, he's a guy that can have his ups and downs, but still be a champ, you know, still be a champion in the championship picture. But you can't separate that out, and they booked it this way, and they went with the money. They went with the we'll take the calculated risk. They've been doing it for a while. You know, they've been doing it for a while, and it's paid off for the most part. He's not, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's not, you know. But, I mean, there's just that thing where he has never, in all the tribulations that he's had and the jobs that he's lost and the pushes that he's lost and the house that he lost and the dog that he lost and the things that he's lost, he has never, you know, put his feet down and come to grips with what the problem is. It's still a hell of a risk. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Particularly since it's just out, you know, even not even doing the right thing, but just doing the PR thing, it's so out there now. They made it public that they've got 3 strikes and he's got 2 of them. So, and they wrote it in their storyline for a while. In fact, he kind of makes reference to it when he talks about, you know, I screwed up and blah, 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 and all that. So,
I love John Cena, by the way, when he was asked about the controversy that people made out of the Jeff Hardy thing and Cena's like, don't they know it's WWE? It's entertainment. And I'm just like, does he really believe that when he says that stuff, when he doesn't get why people were maybe a little upset with the positioning of the Hardy angle on WWE.com that looked just
like...
Yeah,
he tried to pretend that they were mad because they thought it was the only fact, it was a one-dimensional thing that somebody got jumped in a stairwell and they got fooled by that, you know, without any of the whole backstory of the industry and, you know, death and drugs in the industry and the backstory of Jeff Hardy. So the real
well, you know what? On the other hand, Wade, if I were John Cena and I got it, I would never let on.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's ways to, if you're in the position Cena's in, to not seem like you're just such a lapdog for the company and just, you know, a yes man to even some of the sleaziest things that they do. I think there's a way, and I think other champions and other people on top have, who said, you know, hey, you know, that this is entertainment, and sometimes we draw from real life in ways that, in retrospect, you know, maybe we shouldn't have. I mean, there's just a way to do it and not come across as you're just a complete, you know, oblivious servant to the master. So anyway, so big picture, where does this show rank, Pat? How good is this show compared to most WWE shows, and does it get a hearty recommendation?
It gets a hearty recommendation.
Oh, I bet you.
I would say this is one of their better shows of the year.
Yeah, I do too. Bruce, you gave it a 7 on your email. I'd probably have a little higher, but not much. I'm pretty much with you on that.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, you got your happy ending. I did take off 2 points for Jim Ross trying to rhyme Hardy and Party. That was very... Oh, wait a minute. They do rhyme. No, they don't.
They don't rhyme.
They don't rhyme. That, I was really annoyed by that. But, no, I thought it was one of the better shows in a while. We're in this era where you've got this kind of mid-range deal going on, but... You got the shocking happy ending, you know, and you got. Although I still Jeff Hardy's first title winner, any babyface's first title win to me ought to be heads up against the champion. No triple threat, no nothing. They're going right at it, and you get the idea that they're going to win. You're going into the pay per view, and you pay to see that, and you get it. But that's me. Yeah, I thought. I mean, you had. I like John Cena and Chris Jericho an awful lot, and there was enough other stuff on the show. There was some bad stuff on the show, but there was enough other stuff on the show. You know, CM Punk and Rey Mysterio was pretty good, and so it was a good show, I thought.
Yeah. Pat, final thoughts?
Word
of wisdom?
Final words of wisdom. Cowboys beat the Giants.
Right. Sounds good. Bruce, final word of wisdom from you. Anything anything on your mind?
Nah.
Closing thought? Yeah. Thanks. All right. So on that
scintillant. Oh, well, I do have final words of wisdom. Okay. It is 4 weeks until the next pay-per-view.
That is your usual word of wisdom. And that is very
good. I guess we should say Merry Pay-Per-View Christmas.
No, it's 4 weeks till the next pay-per-view of any kind.
Of any kind.
Yes, I understand. So Merry Christmas.
I know. Yeah. To those who only
we won't
listen,
be doing anything. We won't be doing anything. If all you listen to is this nonsense, then the pay-per-view nonsense as opposed to the other nonsense, then Merry Christmas.
Well, we got some roundtables. We got some other stuff to catch up on.
But Pat, if you only listen to this, if you only listen to post WWE pay-per-views or post TNA pay-per-views, then to that slice of our loyal audience, that's what Bruce is getting at.
Well, but then you're missing out.
I know. You are.
Well, you know, that's true. This thing where we're both going to go in the movie theater at the same time, and we're going to sync up our telephones, and assuming I have one, and watch The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke and comment on it and whisper into our phones at the same time, and it'll be the first not director's commentary that you'll hear.
Well, that'll be great, and you can also have Pink Floyd. What was that album?
The Wall. The Wall.
The Wall. Really?
Was it The Wall that syncs up with Wizard of Oz?
I guess.
I've tried that.
What about Pink Floyd, the movie where the dogs bark into the microphone all during Dark Side of the Moon? The movie that turned me away from Pink Floyd forever.
Maybe it was Dark Side of the Moon that's up against that.
Yeah, I think it's Dark Side
of the Moon. Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is the one. That is the one, actually. Have you ever seen that movie? The dogs actually bark into a microphone. They're howling into a microphone while they play Dark Side of the Moon.
I have seen it. Like, I don't know that I remember that evening of my life, though.
That was just horrible. Oh, God. I mean, that was, yeah, anyway, never mind.
Yeah, okay. Okay, on behalf of Pat McNeil and Bruce Mitchell, I want to thank everybody for your support of the Torch this year and wish you all very happy holiday season. And a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And the Torch is an app on your iPhone now. I thought I'd point that out.
Yes, it is. Thanks.
You know, I haven't tried it yet, Wade, because the iPhones you're sending out, they haven't gotten here yet.
Well, depending on how things go, maybe it will work that out. If everybody signs up for the app, you know. All right. But thank you for the plug. If you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, be sure to go to the App Store and download it. And so far, some good reviews for it. It's a very nice mobile-friendly format. If you've got a BlackBerry, just enter pwtorch.com. And you'll get a choice whether you want to see the mobile version or not, or the regular version, and choose the mobile version. It looks very good on the BlackBerry, too, so, or all the other phones. We're very mobile-friendly now. It's been a lot of work the last month, but I feel good about where we are with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, I'm going to sign off now on behalf of Bruce Mitchell, Pat McNeil. Thanks to everybody for listening. We appreciate your support very much, and we will talk to you next time.
Okay, before I let you go, just a reminder that if you want to hear this entire VIP audio roundtable show, it is the probably the most popular VIP feature that we have on the site. Well, each person has their different favorites. Some love our back issues, and some like the newsletters, some love the Torch Talk, some love whatever. We've got all kinds of good stuff. But certainly one of the most popular VIP features that comes with the membership is our post pay-per-view audio roundtables. They're generally close to an hour. Sometimes we run long, sometimes a little bit short, but roughly an hour long. We record them right after pay-per-view's finished, so within an hour or so of pay-per-views, they are online and available for VIP members, and it's one of the favorite things I do each month, with usually with Bruce and Pat. So if you want to get the full VIP hour-long post-pay-per-view audio roundtable, and also catch up on the ones from the past, we don't take them offline. So if you want to listen to what we had to say, for instance, after WrestleMania this year with our in-depth roundtable, or WrestleMania the year before that, and the year before that, and so on, or what we had to say after SummerSlam or the Survivor Series, we've got great audio archives. So if you do enjoy audio wrestling commentary, and you do enjoy our style and our approach to it, there's a lot of my audio updates, a lot of Bruce Mitchell, a lot of Pat McNeil, and a lot of us together in different combinations. And then we also have a lot of other VIP audio shows from different voices, different perspectives, different approaches to audio. And I think you'll find that the variety is something there for everybody as far as how we do the audio. And then, of course, we also have audio Torch Talks. And the current one we're running is Lanny Poffo. 5 hours in length is the entirety of the interview. It's being called one of our better ones. We've been doing it more than 20 years. I've been doing Torch Talks dating back to the late 80s with Vern Gagne, one of the first big-name Torch Talks. And Lanny Poffo being called one of the better ones so far. Really fascinating inside stories from behind the scenes in the WWF in the mid to late 80s, early 90s, plus a lot more. You know, talk about why Randy Savage isn't in the Hall of Fame, all kinds of stuff like that. And Randy's just a quirky guy. He's kind of a strange guy, but a genuine nice guy too, and a really good storyteller. So if you're interested in that, we're a little over halfway through running it. We're running it in a variety of installments chronologically, and we just put up about an hour of it in this last week. But you can catch up on all those installments. They're one click away at the VIP site. We've got really good navigation, so you can find just about anything quickly on the site, including our archives going back many years. So anyway, that's another thing to look forward to if you like listening to this, whether you're on your iPod or at your computer or burning it on a CD, listening to it in the car. A lot of options for audio. So anyway, that's my pitch. Hope in these economic times, maybe money's tight, might be a really good value for $7.50 a month or less. You get a lot of bang for your buck as a wrestling fan for just $7.50 a month, or like I said, less if you subscribe longer term. And if you're cutting back in other areas, this might be one of those bargains that gets you through some long commutes and exercising on the treadmill and that type of thing. We work hard for your business, and we hope you'll maybe give us a sample and try us out and see what you think of all the VIP features. So if you are interested in a VIP membership, just click on the VIP info button in the upper left corner of pretty much every page of pwtorch.com right under our logo. Just click on VIP info, and you can sign up by PayPal, and you can also sign up for paper copy delivery and pay by fax, by check, by money order, by whatever means you want, and you can read all about that option also. Just click on the VIP info button, and it'll tell you all you need to know. That is the end of my pitch, and I will talk to you guys next time. If you don't become a VIP member, we'll continue to put up audio samples here for you anyway, and we really do appreciate your support of the Torch, however you do it, even just visiting the main site now and then, although I hope you've noticed we've upped the content considerably over the past month or two, and we hope that that will turn you into a more frequent visitor also. And, of course, we also now have, as Pat mentioned, we are now in the Apple App Store. We are proud to be in the Apple App Store. Both PW Torch and Mixed Martial Arts, our Mixed Martial Arts site, MMA Torch, are both in the Apple App Store. So if you've got an iPod or an iPod Touch, you can read a custom version of PWTorch.com for your iPhone. But we also have a mobile-friendly site for Blackberries and everything else. Just enter PW Torch on your phone, and it'll give you a route that you can take to our mobile version. Okay, that's it for me, for real. Until next time, this is PW Torch editor Wade Keller thanking you for listening and signing off.